Blog Talk Radio.
The following content may not be suitable for all audiences. Viewer discretion is advised.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1. You're listening to the Radio Infidel Show live from the USA, bringing you the truth, the facts, and the light. Now, here's your host.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome back to the Radio Infidel Show. Jay is spending another night in the dark, thanks to Hurricane Ida. So Pepe, Demon, and maybe BP if he wakes up, we'll try and cover for him this August 30th, the 875th anniversary of the ending of all wars. On this day, European leaders outlawed the crossbow in a move to end human conflict for all time, an act that went about as well as the war on drugs and the war on terror. How you doing tonight, Demon? Any thoughts on the final pullout from Afghan today?
Well,
they're already dropping LGBTers out of helicopters.
I'm gonna sake back to the 875th anniversary here. That's one of my favorite little historical tidbits: is the outlawing of the crossbow. The fear that the crossbow generated in medieval Europe was very real. People really got spun up about that one.
Oh yes, they did indeed. I think it was mostly an argument about how it allowed the lower classes to compete with the high-born knights, right?
And yes, and it also was more effective than most bows. Not every ground infantry in medieval times had access to English longbows. They had a lot more penetrating power. They could get through knightly armor, and that really worried the nobility.
Well, the bows were easy to come by. It was the bowmen that were kind of hard to come by.
Then the power behind the bows wouldn't go through knight armor. But anyway, getting back on track here with the Afghan pullout, dropping LGBTers out of helicopters. One guy that I know, another vet, said that somewhere in Afghanistan, their best techs are feverishly working out the way to fit a Black Hawk helicopter onto the back of a Toyota pickup truck.
Oh, yeah, I would love to see that.
Yeah, that's their go-to. They mount everything on Toyota pickup trucks, so look for Blackhawks on Toyotas. I'm just waiting for them to figure out that they can sling load a Toyota under a Chinook helicopter and put it anywhere they want.
Yeah, exactly.
No goat will be safe in Afghanistan ever again.
Yep. Well, you never know. They'll probably just drive around with the helicopters stuck to the back of the pickup trucks and forget about the fact that they could be flying them. But
we shall see.
Well, Damon, on the eve of the planned Australian truckie strike, Australian politician MP Andrew Giles stuck his foot in it on Twitter. Andrew Giles said, quote, "Craig Kelly ranting about single quote freedom and single quote birthrights, putting conspiracy theory talking points onto our parliamentary record as George Christensen cheers on. It's shameful," unquote. Never knew that, Damon. I didn't know birthrights and freedom are a conspiracy.
Australia, as far as I can tell, is completely toast. They are literally currently building a wall between two of the states in Australia. I think it's New South Wales and Queensland. And there's a very, very East German-looking picture of a couple hugging on either side of what are the barricades there right now as they go to put this wall up. They're literally building a wall between two states in Australia right now.
Is it one of those hugging walls with the armholes so that they can hug each other from each side?
Right now, it's just the big water-filled orange plastic police barricades.
Oh, fun, fun.
There's concertina wire and everything going up.
Well, there's an interesting statistic out of Victoria. In the first 5 months of this year, there were zero COVID deaths and 276 suicides. So I guess that just means it's working.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Well, that brings us to the Citizen Free Press and a report out of Israel from Nuga Tarnovsky indicating that Israel is no longer considering people with only two jabs vaccinated. Triple vaxxed is the new double vaxxed. People who do not receive a third quad shot will be denied access to public life beginning September 1st. In the U.S., Biden and Fauci are hatching a plan to require gene jab boosters every 5 months. Double jabs are crying foul in greater numbers as the vaccine injured and dead count continues to mount, with 13,672 deaths out of 623,000 adverse effect reports on VARS through August 20th. And those are the most recent numbers available.
I'm going to unmangle that name for you real fast. That's Noga Tarnopolsky.
Yes. Apparently she's a journalist specializing in issues in Israel.
Yeah. So I see. This is coming to the United States. It's already hitting other countries other than Israel. I don't understand why people can't see what's going on here. This is the most obvious malevolent plan I have ever seen in my life to control a population through fear. This is the old original Star Trek episode called A Taste of Armageddon, where two planets are at war with one another, but it's all done through computer simulations, and the casualties are simply ordered to report to disintegration points where they are disintegrated as casualties in this war. This is the exact same scenario we're living through right here. It's all being driven through news reports and spreadsheets and just the most insidious psyop I've ever seen in my life. And I've mentioned many times I was on North Korea for years. What's happening here is now par with the evil that I saw in North Korea.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. The one thing occurred to me after 4 years of Orange Man bad terrorizing from the cathedral, I guess they just felt they had a hole to fill. So they're just used to it and can't do anything else.
Yeah, and they don't appear to be able to stop either. There's no the Alice in Wonderland gaslighting of this whole thing where they just keep the population in constant fear. There's no way that this is not going to rupture. It is not possible to sustain this level of stress on a population indefinitely. It cannot be done.
Well, of course, what they're trying to do is force some kind of armed insurrection. You know, that's their favorite word salad of the day. And they're just going to keep pushing until people start shooting, and then they're going to proclaim, "See, we told you so."
I agree, but unfortunately, that might work in a European country. I don't think that will work in the United States of America. I think they've greatly underestimated our population. I think they've greatly underestimated the will of the American people, because up until about 18 months ago, we still thought of ourselves as a free nation, and there are enough people out there who will shoot back, and we're talking 20 years worth of combat hardened veterans. How do they think that ends?
Well, remember they had that little, I think it was an Army or Air Force chick was talking about how she'll be happy to shoot American citizens when the Insurrection Act is invoked.
Well, Sergeant Cindy Bronson is a staff sergeant with a motor transport company, and her MOS is 88 Mike, which is truck driver.
Yep.
Now, in the United States Army, when you enter, you take a test called the ASVAB, which generates what's called a GT score, a general technical score. The people with the highest scores end up in either combat arms, because you don't give a monkey a rocket launcher, or they end up in the higher level intelligence groups and jobs, which is where I ended up. You take the idiots who just barely made the grade on the ASVAB, and you put them in the 88 Mike truck driver slots. My bunkmate in basic was one. His name was Clark. The guy was dumber than a box of blonde hair. So Sergeant Cindy Bronson is no threat to the United States of America. And as a matter of fact, a whole bunch of us veterans have already written letters and called her command. And she has apparently been shut down, is the word that we're getting from inside Army channels.
Good. And she's also the first on the list to be replaced by robots, too. So,
yes, exactly.
All right. Well, next up, Chase Bank has canceled its credit card accounts with General Flynn, citing possible, quote, reputational risk to their company. In case there was any doubt what is happening in this country, your letter reads, after careful consideration, we decided to close your credit cards on September 18th, 2021, because continuing the relationship creates possible reputation risk to our company. You may receive additional account closing notifications. I tell you what, it's way past time to dump big bank.
Well, what we've got now is the country is being de facto ruled by these corporations. They are able to manipulate our finances. They're able to go after our land holdings. If you own property, anything like that, your businesses, they can shut you down. They shut down a veteran with his mask company. I think all right, let me rewind for a second there. In the case of General Flynn, this is outrageous that a bank shut off a guy's money just because they feel that he's some sort of a threat to their reputation. But we know for a fact that pornographers, drug dealers, and probably the cartels, I'll bet you, all have Chase accounts. None of their accounts are shut down. Why?
Well, because they may not cause a reputational risk.
That's interesting.
I mean, what was all that news
about
OnlyFans?
Reputation as pedophiles.
Yeah, exactly. And remember, OnlyFans was about to get shut down by its bank for possible child pornography and all that too. So,
but then the bank backpedaled.
Exactly. It looks like we have a caller here. It may be BP. Let's bring this caller in real quick and find out what's what. Hello, caller. You're on the
BP.
Air. It is
Hello,
BP.
Hello, guys. How's it going?
Welcome,
BP.
Sorry for my tardiness.
I'm glad to see the couch monster has relinquished its hold on you.
No couch monster tonight.
We've got a Bring It Boy in the blog talk chat pointing out that the L.A. County Public Health Officer orders weekly COVID testing to participate in youth sports. And I tell you what, the L.A. County Public Health Officers can stick that up their own nose.
Yeah, that's exactly. Hey, BP, I'm gonna have to change your name, man. I'm changing you to Sleepy Pepe.
Awesome.
I went to sleep last week. It's just my water and batteries don't go well together.
Oh,
there
yeah.
you go.
Well, next up we have Dr. Zelenko. Speaking of LA.
Yeah, you know, there's a big election going on for governor out there in California. And one of the candidates pointed out that only 2% of the L.A. County students are reading on their grade level.
Jesus,
guys.
That's just
2%.
Well, I guess they'll follow suit and remove the requirement to be able to read and write from graduating high school.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Oh, my God. He said that 2%. I was like, wow.
Hey, man, Detroit's at 7%. We got L.A. beat. Yes, we're on top again.
Well, you know, you don't have to compete in literacy if you don't judge literacy. So that's one way to get ahead.
True that.
God.
All right, well, next up, we have Dr. Zelenko of HCQ and Zinc fame. He's connecting some dots for us. He says, follow the commissioners. Scott Gottlieb, former commissioner of the FDA, resigns and then goes to Pfizer to be on the board of directors. Stefan Hahn replaces Gottlieb as FDA commissioner and eventually resigns. He's now the chief medical officer for Moderna. Janet Woodcock wrongly advises Rick Bright, a fully controlled individual, that HCQ is a dangerous drug requiring EUA that should be only limited to hospitalized patients. Remember, all the relevant clinical data at the time showed HCQ to be extremely effective in early treatment and not just in hospitalized patients. Several months later, Janet Woodcock replaces Stephen Hahn as the commissioner of the FDA. Is all this making sense yet, yes?
Dear sweet baby Jesus. It's
it It is all making
sense.
So
nepotistic. So nepotistic. When are people going to start noticing what's going on here? Really, well, the public is completely uninformed on any of this at all, unless you listen to shows like ours and the other ones that are out there. Nobody knows any of this is going on. You talk to people on the streets, they're completely oblivious. They don't see it. Or they'll read it and not understand what it means and think, oh, it's just fine. He's just getting another job. What's the problem?
Yeah, no doubt. There was another man on the street interview about Mark Dice did another man in the street interview about the recall election in California. And over half of the respondents were just like, oh, I don't pay attention to politics.
Yeah. So, yeah. I saw quite a bit of that.
That's where they're at.
DP, what are people saying? What are people saying about any of this stuff around where you're at? Does anybody have any opinions?
Yes, everybody has differing opinions. Everybody wants to be an expert, basically.
Oh, boy.
You know, they just said, go ahead and get it. Some people are like, you know, believe the science. It's just, you know, some people are just like, I got to get it for my job, you know, so.
Oh, my God.
God, the believe the science lines just is a pet peeve of mine. You don't believe science. Science is a process, not something you can believe.
You just took the words right out of my mouth, man.
It's a process that should be believed by the scientists, but it's not. That's the problem.
Exactly. I mean,
talking about the
so that's
the science,
where we are. Yeah.
Yep. But talking about the science, I know all these directives from the government are getting a little confusing. So here's a quick public service announcement that I hope will clarify some things for everybody.
I don't know why this is so hard for people to understand. Try and follow me here, okay? Your body, your choice. Unless it has to do with the vaccine. In which case, your body, the government, your employer, and possibly your school's choice. But you should get the vaccine. Because then you don't have to wear a mask anymore. Unless you still have to wear a mask. But you won't get COVID again. Unless you happen to get COVID again. But you're protected from the other variants. Except that you're not. But you should totally get it because it protects other people unless those other people happen to get COVID from you. Guys, there's no side effects unless you happen to experience some of the side effects. I don't know why this is so hard for people to follow. You don't have to wear a mask unless you do. You can't get sick again unless you do. And there's no side effects unless you experience them. Do the right thing. Don't be an asshole.
Yes, do not be an asshole. I hope that clears everything up for everybody.
I'm confused. Was she for or against it? What's going on? What's going on?
That's the point. It's all confusing.
She was definitely parroting the absolute nonsense that's coming from the cathedral these days.
My head is still wandering around looking for a glass of hard liquor right now. That was very hard to listen to.
That or a gold hammer wrapped around a slice of lemon.
Yes, indeed.
With which to
Ford.
Bash your brains out.
Yes, Mr. Ford Prefect. Yeah, absolutely.
There are voluntary organizations existing to help you recuperate afterwards. Next in the news, Cassandra Fairbanks, reporting for TimCast, broke the news that a semi-truck hauling clot shots bound for international shipping lost control on the interstate in West Virginia, struck a concrete barrier, went down an embankment, and finally flipped on its side in a creek. Monongalia County?
Monongalia.
Monongalia County Sheriff's Office reported in a statement that a hazmat team was brought in to clear, quote, oil and antifreeze for 21 hours. West Virginia Metro News reported that the West Virginia Center for Preparedness helped recover the vaccines, but when contacted, claimed they were, quote, unable to release any information at this time. The sheriff's office declined to answer any questions and suggested questions should be directed to the governor's office, to which a spokesperson for the Office of Governor Jim Justice said, quote, here in the governor's office, we don't know anything about that. Witnesses reported it looked like a small village had been set up. mobile labs, pop-up tents, lights, satellite phone antennas, Fayetteville County and Monongalia County mobile command centers, and more. Airspace surrounding the crash was closed, including hobby drones. The West Virginia Center for Threat Preparedness confirmed to Timcast that the Department of Defense had taken over the cleanup operation through its Countermeasures Acceleration Group, formerly Operation Warp Speed, a DOD, HHS, and FEMA cooperative. The HHS has since reported that all 1.2 million doses were recovered and are now bound for Ghana via Dulles Airport. Sounds like a lot of fuss for something so safe you need to inject it into your arm every 5 months. Hey, guys?
Oh, my God. This sounds like the script for one of these Outbreak movies, or the movie Outbreak, for that matter.
Indeed. That it does.
It's just... That's incredible. And people read this and don't have any, again, have no idea at all what they're reading or what's going on. It's astounding.
Yeah, I mean, they at least could come up with a cover story saying, you know, the cryogenic coolants required all the extra people or something, but they couldn't even lie to that. Sorry,
what was that, BP?
I was just going to say, it's so bizarre, more like a X-Files episode, you know?
Yep.
They were always in West Virginia, you know, the mountains and, you know...
Drawing an X on the road where the car stops.
Yep. Yeah, exactly.
It is. It's very X-Files. Next thing you know, they're going to get a radio call from the site, somebody coming on, going, send more medics.
Yeah, and then you get the pop-up tent with the... CDC and the FBI coming in to take over the scene from the local sheriff.
Good. That Nina has the hots for. Yep. Yep, I've seen that episode. All right, well, here's another story from our selector-in-chief. Kamala Harris visits Vietnamese site marking the capture of enemy pilot John McCain, seemingly thinking it's a memorial. RT reports U.S. Vice President Kamala Harris blundered into a series of cultural faux pas while visiting Vietnam, her first official journey to a foreign state in office. As she attempted to pay homage to former prisoner of war John McCain, Harris on Wednesday stopped by a lakeside monument in the capital city of Hanoi to place a bouquet of flowers, as if believing the structure was meant to honor deceased Arizona Senator and former U.S. fighter pilot John McCain. The stop marked the third anniversary of McCain's death from a brain tumor. The, quote, memorial, where Harris placed her flowers, positioned at the site of the crash, was intended as a tribute to the Vietnamese defenders who captured the pilot, not the American who crash-landed in their lake after already bombing their country 22 times, likely killing multiple innocent civilians along the way. A plaque on the crash site indicates as much. Quote, on 26 October 1967, near Truc Bac Lake in the capital Hanoi, the citizens and military caught pilot John Sidney McCain. The U.S. Navy Air Force aviator was flying an aircraft A-4, which crashed near Yin Phu Power Station. This was one of 10 aircraft shot down that same day. Way to go, Camel Toe.
Good Lord. This just further highlights that we no longer have an active federal government. We no longer have an active federal government. What we have now is a puppet thing. I don't even know how to describe it at this point. What a disgrace. What an absolute diplomatic nightmare.
Yes, I have visions of the Muppets in the White House now. Thank you very much.
Yeah, absolutely. The two old guys.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
This is horrible. This is horrible. Let's watch some more.
Exactly. Oh, my God. I can't even. I need that Pangalactic Gargle Blaster now. I'm done, man. I'm done. And then I have to go into this one, the Afghanistan pullout. 20 years of my brothers in arms being sacrificed to the military-industrial complex. Article off of CNN today showed the last C-17 flying out of the airfield in Kabul. I don't remember the name of the airport, but I don't even care anymore. It's Afghanistan, for crying out loud. That C-17 took off. The second it did that, the State Department released a memo. The airfield and all air traffic into and out of Afghanistan is now no longer under anybody's control, not even the Taliban at this point. It's just a free fire zone. 20 years of war, 20 years of our young men and women, many of whom I know or knew, sent to a country nicknamed the Graveyard of Empires. 368 BC, Alexander the Great, I believe his scribe was actually Homer, wrote, "Stay out of Afghanistan, there is nothing there, and it is perpetually at war." Then the British went in and got their asses handed to them. And the Russians went in, doubt a couple of years later. And then we managed to spend 20 years there, 20 years at war in a country whose hobby is literally war. The Afghanistanis, after they plant in the spring, they have war season. Those tribes, for 3,000 years, have been doing war as a hobby. It's their fun. And we just wasted God knows how much money, God knows how much equipment. We left all of that gear behind that the Afghanis are now trying to mount on Toyota pickup trucks. Countless young American lives ended or ruined or nothing for the cowardice of this regime that has been inflicted on us with one brief respite during Trump's time. This has been going on since 1988, this regime. The first Bush 41, and then Bush 43, and Obama, and 20 years of bloodshed in Afghanistan, and we'd pull out, and the last thing is one lonely C-17 leaving that hole. Guys, I'm, as a veteran, I am enraged right now.
I, as a non-veteran, am enraged as well.
Yeah, it's just, it's staggering. BP, what do you
same
think about
here,
this crap?
Same here. Outrage. The fact that we had no plan to withdraw.
We had a plan, but it was Trump's plan. So Biden decided he wanted to do his own thing.
Okay. So back to no plan.
What really stands out to me is all of our allies that were in there are very pissed off, the UK and France and others.
Yeah.
They're making some very pointed statements.
Yeah, the UK government censured Joe Biden's administration publicly in Parliament. Guys, when you go into a battlefield like this, there is a thing called an OPLAN. In Korea, it's OPLAN 5027. That was the one that was there when I was there. It's since been upgraded. But what I saw in Afghanistan was a complete failure to not just execute an OPLAN, but to have an organized one. When you decide to pull out of a battlefield, there are always a series of plans in place. From what I can see, none of those was followed. Military doctrine was thrown completely, completely out the window on this.
Yeah, I'm sure the Chinese were all lined up to come in right after us.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and a lot of our gear has already been sold to the Pakistani and the Chinese. There's already video of stuff being loaded onto trucks and handed off.
No doubt.
Just incredible.
Yep, quite the clusterfuck.
The 900,000 machine guns. 900,000.
Well, those would be broke in under a year, dude.
Yeah.
The Afghanis are not known for maintaining their
equipment. The Afghanis. Yeah. Oh, my God.
Unless they're those really, 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 really long flintlocks, those they can hold on to forever.
Yes.
At least according to Forgotten Weapons.
That's not a joke at all. The special forces teams that some of my friends went in with in December of 2001 said that they were still using rifles that were easily 100 years old. I have actually heard stories of that being a very true thing. They're still using some of those damn rifles. It's incredible.
Talk about recycling or lack of planned obsolescence. All right. Do you have a news item for us this week, PP?
Sorry. On mute. Hard to talk. Yes, my news item is continuation of my earlier point about the failing school systems in our big cities. Larry Elder, who I don't know if many of you guys know who he is running for governor of California. He grew up in Compton, California. Went to Compton High. He was fortunate enough to make it out of Compton High with a diploma. Only 25% of people graduated from Compton High. More interesting numbers here. Like I said, 2% of the students there are reading on their grade level. K through 6 in L.A. County, only 32% are reading on their grade level. What else? He says, basically, 69% of students in the 9th and 10th grade miss over 100 days in the school year. So that brings up a important point that all the public school systems are controlled by the teachers unions. Their progress or their effort or lack of effort never gets brought to attention. All you hear is about their grievances when something is wrong.
And want more money.
They want more money, yes. So I just find it very interesting. And if you look, go around the country, look at all the major cities, all of their school systems are failing. Philadelphia, 39% students graduate. 39%. That's less than 50. I mean, only 39% of students graduate in 4 years.
Well, what do you expect is going to happen when government's in charge of anything? I mean, even in our area with relatively successful schools, that the buildings have been closed for, a year and something, right? The kids just went back to school. And facilities is in there doing all sorts of work that could have been done over the last year while the buildings were closed. But no.
They wait till now to do it.
Yep. Talk about crazy.
Yep. So that's my piece, basically.
Such a disgrace, man. Such a disgrace.
Yeah. I mean, it's sad.
Well, fortunately, after a year of remote learning, there's a significantly larger portion of the population being homeschooled now than there was a year and some ago.
Yeah. Yes, sure. I saw an article just recently. Homeschooling is up. You're going to love this. Are you ready? Homeschooling is up in the United States of America close to 15,000%. 15,000%.
Wow.
That's how many people are reacting to the school systems. That's an incredible number. I have never seen anything jump 15,000% ever in all my life.
Mm-hmm. Well, at this point, why would any parent have confidence that the schools are going to be open regularly anymore?
Absolutely.
With all the games they're playing.
Yep. Absolutely.
If you got to make other plans, you might as well make other plans, you know?
Jeez, oh, Pete. All right, that's enough misery. Pepe, bring us into the break so we can get on with this thing.
That's right. Let's get on with it.
I hear BP's already fixing his cool sweet tea. Let's head into the break. Everyone,
get it ready.
Everyone do their bio break thing, and we'll rock out with some Iron Man.
Okay.
Welcome back to the Radio Infidel Show. Next up, Facts with Demon 26.
Well, I'm afraid I don't have good news this evening, ladies and gentlemen. I'm looking at this, looking back at all of the research I've done over the years and the work that I did for a long time, and I think we're there. I think this has reached a crescendo. Look around you, all the stuff that's going on, systems failing, infrastructure, transportation, supply lines. I'm sure a lot of you have noticed that prices for many things, gas, food, meat, are all going up or appear to be going up. That's partially true. What's happening is the value of your currency is plummeting. Don't understand what that means. As soon as I'm through my little rant here, I want you to go look up the Weimar Republic in Germany, when the currency collapsed there. When the currency collapsed in Venezuela, what happened? A loaf of bread would go for 300-400 marks in Germany. You would need a wheelbarrow of cash just to buy anything at all. Literally a wheelbarrow of cash. I'm not exaggerating. This is the direction that we're headed in the United States of America right now if we don't pull our thumbs out and react to this mess. Very soon, I'm already starting to see it here in some of our grocery stores. Very soon, you're going to start to see supply shortages. Very soon, you're going to see the already high price of gas double, triple, God knows what. It's all coming off the rails. It's going to be hard to find anything for your family. BlackRock and other large investment companies are buying up private property as fast as they can. I know a guy on Gab. One of his friends just moved here to Michigan. They're trying to find a house in the Grand Rapids area. Family of seven. They can't find anything. Not because there's nothing on the market, but because every time they put a bid in, this investment company rushes in and snaps the house out from under them by overbidding them by just enough. Landlords here in Michigan and other places I've been looking at are raising rents out of reach of most families who are in incomes in the $20,000 to $30,000 bracket. All they want to do is afford rent, feed their kids. Everything is being taken out of your reach. All of this is deliberate. None of this is by accident. And as Pepe's pointing out here to me, landlords are asking for a year or two of rent in advance now in some cases. I also know that to be true. A kid was trying to rent a house or an apartment up in Lansing at Michigan State. Not a single landlord will rent to him unless he can pay 6 months up front. You're being driven to despair. Winter is coming in many states in the United States of America. There will be no food on the shelves if this continues. There will be nowhere for you to go if this continues. Refugees, in quotes, continued to be flooded into this country by what was once our federal government and is now a Marxist occupation puppet government. And you, the citizens of the United States of America, no longer matter. They don't care. They want their global world order. They have made no bones about it. Many of us, including myself, have laughed about this over the years, looking at it, going, yeah, they're never going to be able to pull that off. And then some of us started watching. Some of us started watching and realizing that, oh, my God, they're pulling it off. And then we watched as Europe was flooded with invaders, all under the UN Population Replacement Migration Program, which is still on the UN website. Go look that up. Ladies and gentlemen, this is very real. We are there. This has reached a crescendo. The global communists believe that they are about to take over all civilized nations with a very, very small handful of exceptions, Poland, Japan, Ukraine looks like it might be fighting back a little more. Very small handful of exceptions. I am not going to mince words. I'm a former professional soldier. I'm a former intelligence analyst for special warfare. I've worked with pick your tier one unit. I've worked with all of them. We are in danger. This is real. You need to get together, get organized, and get local. Your instructions are in the Declaration of Independence. Your proof of concept is the Battle of Athens, Tennessee, 1946, August. Read the entire story. You'll see it is microcosm, word for word, of what is happening right now. The Declaration of Independence, the founders left us instructions, made it very clear. It is not only our right to remove tyrants, it is our duty. Time is short. We all need to wake up. I know this is a terrible, grim message, but I'm saying this as somebody who did this for a living for a very long time. We are at war. Pay attention. Declaration of Independence, Battle of Athens, Tennessee, August 1946. That's my soapbox for this evening, ladies and gentlemen. I pray you pay attention. Gentlemen?
Indeed, indeed. And I'll see if I can't track down the Radio Infidel Show episode that you related the story about the citizen revolt. And I'll post that to the Radio Infidel group on Gab after the show. And I can't blame the land.
I want to make one thing really clear right now. People will see this language that I'm using as revolt. It's not. The revolution has already happened. If we have the will to stand up and take our country back, it is a restoration under the laws of our nation. There are provisos in our laws for us to restore our country. I'm sorry. Go ahead, man.
Oh, I was just going to say I can't blame the landlords for asking for a year or two of rent in advance after the CDC eviction moratorium. There's a recent story in the news about a female single mother landlady whose tenants aren't paying rent, so now she's living out of her car in front of one of her tenants' houses. And the news interviewed the tenant, and she was fearful that she might be kicked out on her ass watching her landlady live in a car. Let that sink in.
Detroit radio right now is full of ads of companies offering to buy properties from landlords precisely like that lady living in her car. They're snapping them up. Private property, they want it, all of it.
And just to be clear, I was using revolt in the sense as to renounce subjugation to a government.
Absolutely, absolutely. BP, you got any thoughts on my little tirade?
I think you're absolutely right, Demon. It is sad to see it all fall apart so quickly, but I think we are headed for a long, long winter. So I'm trying to build some shelves and get some stuff in the garage right now.
I hear you, man.
Just to get ready.
Yep.
Time to start digging the bunker.
Yep.
All right, guys. Well, tonight on Big Think with Pepe Farms Remembers, we're going to revisit the FDA fast-tracking approval for the quad shot. Take it away.
In a move that should be a surprise to nobody, the FDA has fast-tracked approval for the clot shot. Tonight on Big Think with Pepe Farms Remembers, how the FDA Pfizer approval and the Austrian wine poisonings reveal the true nature of regulatory health bureaucracies. As you may have heard, the FDA has granted approval for the Pfizer clot shot, brought to you by the same fanatic that brought us fentanyl and OxyContin. As Canadian Chris Sky reports.
Hey guys, crazy info that obviously you'll never get from anybody but me. So they're going to plan on getting FDA approval for the COVID vaccine next week so they can try to push all these mandates on everybody because they're going to tell you how safe and effective it is. Well, guess how they did it? They got a woman named Janet Woodcock, who is the chief for the Center of Drug Evaluation Research, and they put her as the acting head of the FDA to give her the approval status. And this woman is personally responsible for approving both OxyContin, which is causing a friggin' epidemic, and fentanyl, the two most dangerous drugs on the market today that got approved by this woman, Janet Woodcock, who's now going to be approving our COVID vaccines so they can push everybody with mandates.
With their approval, the FDA acknowledges that clinical trials are not complete, and with no anticipated long-term double-blind studies, they never will be. The FDA must have a cutoff in mind for vaccine injuries and deaths, though, right? Not according to the FDA, or at least not that they will disclose.
You have reached the FDA's Center for Biologics Evaluation and Research. If you are a consumer or a healthcare professional, please press 1. If you are a manufacturer, please press 2. If you have a question regarding a Freedom of Information request, please press 3. To reach the receptionist, please...
Wait while I transfer your call.
Thank you for calling the Food and Drug Administration. My name is Matt. How can I help you?
Hi, Matt. I'm calling to report what appears to be a orchestrated genocide with these injections that you guys are calling COVID shots. What are you guys doing, and why are these continuing to be operational when we know the swine flu, after about 25 deaths, the FDA shut down those shots? These shots have resulted in what many doctors and scientists are saying, in the hundreds of thousands, potentially in the millions already, of death across the planet.
Every situation is a little bit different. This being a pandemic,
Hold on, Matt. A pandemic? We know that the death rate is actually very similar to a flu. We also know, unlike a flu that goes after children too, and that actually children die from flus, we know that most children globally do not die from coronavirus. So I'm asking you, why are we involved in murdering children? Children bodies are stacking now. Injuries, death, heart, total blood clots. We know a doctor right now has reported he's been doing blood analysis of all his patients that are coming in after the injection. 62% of them are showing what's called micro blood clots now. Not the blood clots that we all know, the blood clots that you guys have been putting out warnings on these injections that cause the death, the big ones, the ones the size of softballs in people's brains, the ones the size of softballs in people's chests and their heart, their lungs. No, we're talking about doctors are now reporting 62% of their patients are showing micro blood clotting across their entire body. And that what they're saying now is that's going to create massive stress on these patients' hearts because the blood is aggregating. The blood clots are aggregating in the lungs. So I want to know, Matt, with all this evidence of death and injury, now we know that the injury is in the millions, conservatively, okay? So I want to know, what is the body count? Come on, Matt. Can you get a supervisor on? We need to find a body count. What is the amount that the FDA says?
Be able to.
Is it? It's over. You thought it was 6,000. It's double that now. It's already double that. So I don't know when you got that number last. But I would tell you right now. But go ahead, jump on VARS and see if you can get the total count right now. Can't do it.
I'm not able to jump on there right now. After we end this call, I can certainly do that. But I do have, you know, other responsibilities, other calls that I need to make. So
yeah, but Matt,
We
need to get to a death count. That's what I'm trying to get. If this has been everybody sweeping this under the carpet right now. People, real human beings are dying in what very much seems like an orchestrated genocide at this point. And the CDC is not stopping it. The FDA is not stopping it. They're pushing this in. You should be concerned. They're pushing this into all federal employees. This is
the only things I can do are refer you to the CDC and to the documents and information on our website.
So the
That's
FDA,
the
FDA, can, the FDA, in conclusion, the FDA acted before to shut down a swine flu for 25 deaths. Now we have bodies stacking at levels that I don't even know. I mean, I'd have to do the calculations, but I imagine it's as high as a skyscraper in a major city now. So Matt,
like
nobody
said,
seems
I would,
to know.
I can only refer you
can
to
Can I
our
talk
website.
To your supervisor? I want to talk to your supervisor. I want to get to a number. Somebody has to have a number. What is the number that's acceptable to humanity? Children are dying now, Matt. Do you understand this?
Okay, I don't. After we get off the phone, I can let my supervisor know, and if they have additional information, they can give you a call back, but I don't believe that they will.
As we learn from the Austrian wine poisonings, industry and government will collude to find out how much poison can be included in products without killing people in the name of profit alone. The ultimate marketing gimmick that you will die unless you take their poison and huge profit motives is all that is required to avoid those pesky health and safety regulatory mandates.
In 2003, the Center for Disease Control saw the possibility of a gold strike, and that was the coronavirus outbreak that happened in Asia. They saw that a virus they knew could be easily manipulated was something that was very valuable, and in 2003, they sought to patent it. And they made sure that they controlled the proprietary rights to the disease, to the virus, and to its detection, and all of the measurement of it. We know that Anthony Fauci, that Ralph Baric, that the Center for Disease Control, and the laundry list of people who wanted to take credit for inventing coronavirus were at the hub of this story. From 2003 to 2018, they controlled 100% of the cash flow that built the empire around the industrial complex of coronavirus. In 2002, there was a recognition that the coronavirus was seen as an exploitable mechanism for both good and ill. On April the 25th, 2003, the U.S. Center for Disease Control filed a patent on the coronavirus transmitted to humans. Under 35 U.S. Code Section 101, nature is prohibited from being patented. If it was manufactured, it was a violation of biological and chemical weapons, treaties, and laws. If it was natural, filing a patent on it was illegal. In the spring of 2007, the CDC filed a petition with the Patent Office to keep their application confidential and private. They actually filed patents on not only the virus, but they also filed patents on its detection and a kit to measure it. Because of that CDC patent, you cannot look at the virus, you cannot measure it, you cannot develop a test kit for it. And by ultimately receiving the patents that constrained anyone from using it, they had the means, they had the motive, and most of all, they had the monetary gain from turning coronavirus from a pathogen to profit.
A modicum of research reveals today's playbook has been repeated with every other pandemic or infectious disease, and not just post-World War II. As Carl Ehlinger warned back during the 1985 Austrian wine poisonings, do not, quote, overestimate the globality of the scandal, quote, because in a year, it's all forgotten. Just like the 1976 and more recent fake swine flu outbreaks and every major viral disease in history, the pandemic snake oil salesman will fade into the ether, and in another generation, people will gladly drink their poison.
So there you go, fellas. That's an interesting point about the patentability of genetic sequencing. Basically, when the human genome was being decoded, pharmaceutical companies tried to patent the sections of the genome that they had decoded, and that was legislated out of existence. And as the previous speaker said, the anything natural cannot be patented. So either the CDC is declaring that this is a man-made quote-unquote virus, or, and more likely, they're pointing out that all viral genomes are theoretical only and don't actually exist. What do y'all think?
God. You know, Do you remember when the Democrat and Antifa operatives were harassing people in the streets, the Trump staff and supporters and everything? Remember all of that?
At which time?
Yeah, exactly. These people are people, and they live somewhere, and they eat out, and they go shopping. They deserve the same treatment. Find them, get in their faces, demand answers. It's time. And treat the media the exact same way. Anytime you see a media truck, call 50 friends. Surround those reporters and demand answers. It's enough of this. We have to start playing their game by their rules. We need to stop playing their game by their rules for us and start playing their game by their rules for them. These are people. They put on pants in the morning just like you and I do. Well, okay, some of their guys put on dresses in the morning. That's fine. But we need to find them, and we need to start demanding answers. I'm not advocating for violence by any stretch of the imagination here. I'm advocating for finding answers. I want answers.
As do I.
You're exactly right, Kamen. We all demand answers.
It's time to get some.
Yeah, I fear they will be short and a long time coming. Well, that about wraps it up for the Radio Infidel show tonight, unless either of you have anything you want to bring in at the last moment.
Revoke consent. That's my last word.
10-4, any final thoughts from you, BP? Are you on mute?
I love it.
BP's final thought is that he can't find his mute button.
No, final thoughts are, I agree with you, Demon. Time to prepare for crisis that's coming.
Yeah.
In the fall.
It is.
Yes, indeed.
All right, Pepe, take us out of here.
Well, thanks to my co-hosts, Demon and BP. Awesome stuff, gents. And here's hoping Jay has power and internet next week. Thanks to our listeners, as without you, well, it just wouldn't be as much fun. Join us on Gab at the Radio Infidel Show group, where we pontificate on such truisms as Oscar Wilde's observation that, quote, fashion is a form of ugliness so intolerable that we have to alter it every 6 months. Good night, everybody. We'll play this one out with a tribute to California's Gavin Newsom.
President Brown, California, over Ireland, California.